Scripture reading for this evening will be out of Proverbs 30, 10 through 12. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good
to see each and every one of you. We're so thankful that you're here. We're grateful that you're here. We're honored that you're here, and we're encouraged that you're here this evening. Always so many things to consider in that respect, but we are glad that you are here and have taken another opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're excited about our VBS, and we hope you'll participate, help out in any way that you can as the week is on and the week is before us. But certainly those are things that we should keep on our minds this week. We've been focused in the book of Judges in our Sunday evenings. Last week we looked at Ehud and how he kind of faced problems head on. And now we are going to look at another judge, Deborah. If you'll turn over to Judges chapter 4. That's where we'll spend the majority of our time this evening. But in perspective of chapter 4, certainly there's a lot of things that bring up in chapter 4, and I'm not going to be able to hit on everything, but certainly if you have any questions at any time, we'd be glad to answer those, and certainly what we want to do is just follow the Bible to the best of our ability. But the reason we turn to the Old Testament is for our learning. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, whatever things were written before were written for your learning, so certainly we can learn from this situation. But one of the first observations that I think we're going to come to is that it is sad many times when men are not spiritually focused. And I think that we are going to actually see from Deborah that she is incredibly focused on God and what God wants. In fact, we see all throughout chapter 4, I think we're going to see that Deborah is focused, that Deborah is a reminder, and Deborah is an encourager. And in those aspects, she certainly is a leader. But isn't it sad many times when men are not spiritually focused? You know, I've read many statistics and I've looked at different things, and there's a lot of statistics on like a man in the household. Is if there is a man in the household in respect to if kids stay faithful. It is sad when men don't step up to the plate. And actually in Deborah's time, I think that's what we have a lot of, and I think we have evidence of it from different places, is there's a lot of men that aren't standing up, but yet that doesn't affect Deborah's spiritual focus. She is focused on God and what needs to be done. And I don't think that it's necessarily a new problem. I think we're going to see it in Deborah's time, but I think we certainly can see it in our time, and I think we'll certainly see it in the future, is sometimes we will have women that are standing strong, being very spiritually focused, while sometimes the men in their lives are not. And I think that's a powerful lesson, staying spiritually focused despite some of the people that are around you. But as we get into Judges, as we kind of recap some of the beginning chapters, as the people of Israel are in the promised land, it isn't taking too long, as we saw in chapter 1, for them to lose focus. They lose focus, they're not going to drive the people out of the land, and after that we start to see this yo-yo of God's people. Is they will do good for a while, and then they will turn away from God. They will forget God. They will forget spiritual things. They will forget God. They will forget what God has said. And during that, they fall away from God, and God will use these judges, these charismatic leaders many times, to turn the people's minds and hearts back to God. In fact, in Judges chapter 4, that's what we see. It has happened once again. The people of Israel have turned away from God. Please forgive me on my pronunciation. If you heard me going down the road, I've tried to pronounce these about 100 times, and Sarah was correcting me. But I'll do the best I can. But starting in chapter 4, we're going to see the problem. It says, when Ehud was dead, remember, Ehud did a good job, and actually he had 80 years after he faces the problem that the Israelites were facing. But Ehud is now dead. The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan. So he reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Hasheth Hagimon. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. So once again, we see the children of Israel in quite a predicament. And why are they in this predicament once again? I think because they turned away from the Lord. They're doing things that are evil in the sight of the Lord. I don't think they're considering God in their thoughts, in their ways, and simply, as Terry put it at the table the other day, last week, is they have simply forgotten God. Once again, the people of Israel, God's people, have forgotten God. And we see that they have an enemy that has been harassing them with these 900 chariots, harassing them again and again and again. What we see is there is very little leadership with the Israelites. Wouldn't we agree? We would agree that there are very few people following God at this time. Wouldn't we agree? And certainly when we look at the situation, aren't we so thankful for Deborah, the woman that we find, who is fiercely focused on God and will not be really turned by really what I would say the majority of Israel is doing, forgetting God, not being focused on God and what He wants them to do. So let's get into some of these traits of Deborah. Number one, in Judges chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, we see Israel's in a problem, but we see that she is focused. She is a woman that is focused on God. Let's see Judges chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. It says, "Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lebadah, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramon and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment." You see that Deborah, I would say, is focused on what God wants. She is focused on what God wants. She is going to say, in terms of her position in relation to a judge, as these people are coming to her, that she is going to speak what God wants her to say. And certainly we should all ascribe to whenever we are trying to be in a position that people are coming to us and asking us about what God says. Shouldn't we just give them the oracles of God? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God." And I think Deborah is focused on God's word. I think it would be very easy for her not to be focused on God's word. Wouldn't it be easy for someone to come to Deborah and her just tell them what they want to hear? I don't think that was Deborah. I think she was focused on what God wanted her to say. In fact, I think that's why God puts her in this position. I think she has character. I think she does the right thing when no one's looking. And we know that that's never the case in this world. We know that someone is always looking. But she is focused on God. She's focused on doing those things that are right. And with no doubt, I believe that Deborah has character and wants to do right by God every step of the way. But I think when we look at the land and we see Deborah in this position, I think we do scratch our head. Consider we read about multiple people. But that is not what we see in the period of the judges. As many times, it was very few that were doing that which was right. You know, we quickly reflect on Joshua. Remember in Joshua chapter 24, verses 15 and 16 and following, Joshua was a leader, no doubt about that. And as he's leaving Israel, he gives a speech to them and tells them not to forget God. He tells them again and again not to forget God. And it says that the generations after Joshua do well. But after Joshua is gone, and as the generations come and go, slowly and slowly people are not focused on God. They're not focused on His Word. In fact, I think what you would say you're finding in Israel is spiritual anarchy. Is very few individuals are seeking what God would want them to do. Now I know it's not Deborah's time, but another place in Judges 21 and verse 25, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes." And I think that would be a description of Deborah's time. Is everybody just doing what's right in their own eyes? There's very few people consulting what God wants them to do. Very few people looking to God. And certainly that is something that we should admire, look at, and really try to have in ourselves. Are you focused on God? Are you focused on what God says? Are you focused on His Word? Because certainly as we look out in our society, certainly we hold out hope, and certainly we pray, and certainly we do everything that we can. But wouldn't we say that the people that are concerned about what God says, slowly but surely that number is dwindling around us? It's certainly a trait to be admired to stay focused on God when many people around you are not. And I think that is certainly what we're seeing from Deborah. She is a judge. She is focused on what God is saying. She's focused on those things that are around. And I think that's a sign of her character. Is do we look to God and not ourselves? Do we look at for our own opinion, or do we try to look for what we think is right, or do we say, what does God want? What is His judgment? What would God want us to do? Do we have that spiritual focus that He had when many people did not? In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. Do we have the spiritual focus that He has? Even when many people were forsaking God, when many people were forgetting God, when many people were doing evil in the sight of God, can we stand with the spiritual focus that He has? Do we turn to God's word, or do we turn to our own words? Do we turn to the words of the opinions of men, or do we turn to the words that God would want us to hear? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us what we need. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do we seek God when others around us are not? See, when you look at the Israelites, I believe we have men and women that are forsaking God. But yet here Deborah stands underneath this palm tree, and she is focused on God's Word. She wants God's Word to get out. She wants God's judgment to get out. She is focused on God when many around her are not. Do we turn to ourselves, or do we turn to God? In Psalm 46, in verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge. God is where we turn when it seems like the deck is stacked against us. We turn to His Word for guidance, for correction, for instruction, so that we can do those things which God wants us to do. The young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is given a charge. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 through 5, what's the charge before God and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Well, why would you do that? Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Because they have itching ears, they'll heap upon themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Timothy, the young preacher, is given a charge to preach the word in season, out of season, to convince, rebuke, exhort. He's given that list of things with all long suffering and teaching. Why is he doing that? Because people will come along that are not saying God's word anymore. Could that be perhaps said of our society? Couldn't that be perhaps said in times of the past? I mean, we can just go down the line, really. When you go through the Bible, you start looking at these time periods. You look at the time period between Adam and Eve and to Noah. What happens? Man turns away. They don't want to hear what God says. It says their minds and hearts were on evil continually. And then we have Noah. And then after Noah, what do we have? We have the Tower of Babel. And what happens there? God tells them to spread out and multiply, and what do? They all congregate and they try to build this tower to heaven. And God divides them again. And then we go through time and we see time and time again, man turns away from what God wants him to hear. In fact, many times we see that people won't even read the book, they won't apply the book, they won't look at the book, they don't want to see what the book says because they're afraid what it might reveal. But one of the things that I admire about Deborah is she was focused in a time that people weren't focused. She was focused on God's Word. She was focused on what God wanted. And I think that we're going to see that as the text continues. In Judges chapter 4, as we continue on in verses 6 through 10. So we see Deborah, she's a judge. She's focused on God, and Israel is turning away and doing all kinds of evil. Let's continue on, verses 6 through 10. It says, then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Amnah, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy the troops at Mount Tabor? take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera and the commander of Jabin's army with his chariot and his multitudes at the river of Kish. And I will deliver him into your hand. You know, I find many interesting things about this interaction. The first observation that I would like you to make, perhaps with me, is when I look at Deborah calling Barak to her, it seems like to me that she is reminding Barak of something that he already knows. Look at the terminology. Has not the Lord of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Now, I don't want to draw your own conclusion, but when I look at that, I kind of come to the conclusion that Barak already knows this. He has already heard this before. And Deborah is reminding him of what God has already said. And I can tell you that this is a trait to be admired in Deborah. Not only do we see a woman of spiritual focus when the whole world seems not be spiritually focused, but we see another trait is that she is reminding Barak what the Lord has said. Do you remind people what the Bible says? I think this message is already known and available. And what's interesting is this compares to the New Testament, does it not? There is information that God has given us in everything that pertains to life and godliness that we can read in the New Testament. Do we remind people of that? Because what Deborah does is she goes to Barak and she says, what has God said? Don't you know what God said? He told you to go up to this place and defeat these individuals. She is really reminding. She's not. I don't think that she's really bringing a new message here when I look at the terminology there. It seems like this was already known, whether from earlier in the book, where it's talking about driving these people out of the land, or whether it's a specific command or a specific idea that's already been given. So if you look at that, it says, has not the Lord of Israel commanded? That's past tense. He is reminding Barak of something that he should already be engaged in, something that he should already be doing. And I think being a reminder is actually an admirable trait and one that we should reflect on and think on from time to time. I think God expected them to confront evil and to go up against these people. But yet, how long have they put up with this harassment? How long have they put up with this harassment? As we look in those beginning verses, it says 20 years. 20 years they have been harassed by these individuals, by Sisera and Ali's chariot. 20 years they have been put up with being harassed. Nobody's standing up. No one's trying to be a leader. No one's trying to do what God wants them to do. And yet what does Deborah do? She goes, Barak, what has the Lord said? And she reminds them, has not the Lord commanded? Has not the Lord commanded? The Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at the mountain of Tabor. He is reminding him of what God has already said. You know what? In the New Testament, sometimes we need to be reminded of what God has said. Sometimes we need to be reminded of what God said, because really, that's the only way that we can really live a life that's pleasing to God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you kind of work that backwards. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, but how do I have faith? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's only one way you can have faith. It's from God's word. So if I'm going to please God, because without faith, it's impossible to please him, I have to know his word. And what's Deborah doing? Remember what God said. Remember what he said. He already commanded you. Why do you stand here? We know what we should be doing. You know what you should be doing. Why aren't you doing it? Sometimes we need a reminder. I think that's what Deborah did. It's not always easy to give somebody a reminder. Sometimes reminders are needed. I think that's what Deborah did. What does God want us to do? Well, we know what God wants us to do, then why aren't we doing it? If we know in the New Testament that God wants us to evangelize, why aren't we doing it? If God knows that we should be going to benevolence, why aren't we doing it? If God has instructed anything, we know it, why aren't we doing it? And that's what Deborah's doing. She's just saying, hey, what has God said? And if God has said it, why aren't we doing it? Deborah is a reminder. A very powerful reminder. Sometimes we need to be reminded of God's Word. And sometimes those reminders come from unexpected places and unexpected times. Certainly we are not perfect individuals. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We certainly fall short from time to time. We're not perfect as individuals. We're not perfect as a congregation of the Lord's people. But we understand that reminders are needed. Being reminded of what God has said. If God has said it, if God has commanded it, why aren't we doing it? And what a powerful thing for Deborah to come forward and say this. I mean, wouldn't it take some courage? Because a lot of times when you remind someone of something that they should be doing, do they always receive it well? Yeah, you should be doing this, shouldn't you? It's not always received well. We have to be gentle, and I think a lot of times when we look at corrections and reminders in the Bible, they're done privately. We think of Acts chapter 18 with Apollos. He's kind of pulled aside, and they explain to him more accurately the word that he's preaching there. You know, you think of those things. I'm not saying that we just go and not consider our reminders, but certainly I think that she needs some courage to do this. Does she know how Barak's going to respond? Does she know how he's going to respond when she says, we know what God has said, we know what God has commanded, why aren't we doing it? Why are you not doing what God has commanded? He could have responded a lot of different ways. And I think sometimes we have to get over ourselves a little bit and say, is this the truth? Is it a reminder? Am I going to try to do it in a loving way, in a private way, that we can try to move this forward in a good direction? See, Paul said Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, says, I've become your enemy because I tell you the truth. See, I think that Deborah kind of puts herself out there, does she not? He's telling Barak the truth. Has God not commanded this? Has God not commanded this? She's kind of putting herself out there. She's saying, I'm going to tell you the truth, and maybe you're going to be a little hurt by this. But I fear that sometimes in our culture, we're too afraid to put ourselves in that situation anymore. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Deborah was a reminder, and certainly that was a powerful trait. Certainly we see reminders being private many times, and she's reminding him of the command, but I think to some degree she's also reminding Barak of God's power. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, sometimes reminders need to point us back to God. They need to point us back to the spiritual things. Point us back to those things that are most important. Those reminders are important because none of us are perfect. And a lot of times we can go off to the left or to the right. I think for Barak's response is still lacking. He's going to ask her to go with her. And certainly she is going to go. And why did she go? I think to support, help, and care for Barak as best he can. So let's continue on. Certainly we see that she was a woman of spiritual focus. Certainly we see a woman that reminds Barak of really a command of God and what he should be doing. We continue on, verses 11 through 16. It says, now Heber, the Kenite, of the children of Hobah, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Canaanites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zanan, which is beside Kadesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Anoah, had gone up to the mountain of Tamor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Kadesh-Hagoim, to the river of Kish. Then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down the mountain of Tabor with 10,000 men following, and the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera went from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariot and the army as far as Kadesh-Hagoim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. Number one, when I look at Deborah, I see a woman that was spiritually focused. Focused in a time when many were not. When I look at Deborah, I see a woman that reminded. And in these last few verses, I see that Deborah was a woman that encouraged. Is she not encouraging Barak to do what he should do? Is that not what she's doing? And we look at the passage in verse 14. It says, "So Deborah said to Barak, Up! For this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone up before you?" Is she not encouraging Barak to do what he should do? She's encouraging. Now, we don't have time to get into everything this evening, but when I read that passage, it seems like it almost seems like to me she stays on the mountain. But what does she do right before he leaves the mountain? She says those words. She says, "Up, for this day is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with the 10,000 men following him. Seems like Barak's leading this charge. But Deborah, what did she do? She encouraged, did she not? Do you encourage? That is an amazing trait of Deborah. I mean, she could have been very down, and she could be very negative, because she's already went to Barak, and Barak's not really listening really to her a whole lot, because he's like, "Well, unless you come with me." And then she comes with him, and then they're there, like at the edge of battle almost. Seems like they're at the edge of battle. And what does she have to do to kind of to get him to go down the hill? To go down the hill? She says, "Arise and go!" She's trying to encourage Barak, is she not? Don't we need encouragers in our lives? Do we try to encourage one another? I think in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." I think we all need a push from time to time, a good spiritual push. And is that not what Deborah is doing? She's shoving the rock down the hill. She says, "Arise and go and fight these individuals. God is with you. Take the 10,000 and take them." Deborah is encouraging Barak as best she can to do what is right. You know, sometimes we need a good spiritual push. I can tell you, I wouldn't be here before you this evening without some spiritual pushes in my life. And sometimes those spiritual pushes feel uncomfortable. You think Brock felt uncomfortable throughout this process? I think he shows you that he's uncomfortable, because when she says, "Hey, just do what God commanded you," he's like, well, if you go with me, I will. It's like he's kind of uncertain for whatever reason. He needs that encouragement. He needs that little push. And even on Mount Tabor, where the enemy seems like they're below, she says, "Arise and go do what is right." You know, sometimes we need encouragement. I wouldn't be before you this evening without spiritual encouragement, without a spiritual push every once in a while. But what I found is we rarely push ourselves. Is that true? You know, you think of your teachers. Didn't your teachers push you sometimes further than you thought you could go? Didn't sometimes in your life, perhaps sometimes people get a physical trainer, and that trainer will push you a little farther than you would normally go? We all need encouragers in our lives. Deborah was an encourager. She was pushing Barak to do what was right. She was an encourager. "Arise and go and do that which you know is right." I think we see with Barak that he perhaps has some uncertainty. And actually, I think we could also understand that Barak might be mad. But it seems like he welcomes this encouragement from Deborah. So Deborah is encouraging, and it seems like he appreciates this very much. Sometimes we need reminders. Sometimes we need pushes. Sometimes we need to be encouraged. How powerful it is to be encouraged. I think that's what Deborah is certainly doing. I know the lesson doesn't necessarily go here, but if you just reverse the situation and let's make Deborah extremely negative. Barak, don't worry about knowing what God commanded. Barak, don't worry about what God commanded you to do. Don't worry about it. I'm not even going to remind you about it. Because I know you get mad when I bring it up, so I'm not going to remind you about what you should be doing. That's not what she does. She also could be discouraging on the mountain, could she not? She said, "You've been uncertain this whole time, and now you think you can go down and you can lead this victory. You think you can do that?" She was not discouraging, she was encouraging. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be very careful with our words as best we can, because a word of discouragement is very powerful. How many words of discouragement have kept the Barak back from making the charge. How many Baraks do we have among us that have not taken up the sword and led the charge because they've not been encouraged, because they've not been reminded, because they don't have a spiritual focus? Sometimes people need to be the Deborah in their lives. I am focused. I will remind you. I will encourage you. And I will get you. I will support you as much as I can. You know, there's an amazing quote that goes like this. It's actually from the movie Milan, but it's always stuck in my mind like a visual. But the quote goes like this: a single grain of rice can tip the scale. You think of that. There's a scale, right? A single grain of rice can tip the scale. When it comes to people's lives, when it comes to the Baraks that are around us, you know that your little bit of negativity could actually set the scale in the wrong direction? I think about that. I think of Deborah. She was there to encourage Barak as he was going to do what God wanted to do. He seemed uncertain. He didn't seem like he had all that he needed, but Deborah was there. And we need women like Deborah, do we not? We need women that are spiritually focused. We need women that are reminders. We need women that are encouragers. We need those people in our lives. I find it is such a powerful story because you think that Barak makes it to make this charge without Deborah there. You think of how powerful a woman's influence is. I think of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 where it says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. A woman's presence, example, and leadership in these areas is something that we cannot replace. We cannot replace the spiritual focus of an individual. We cannot replace the reminding of an individual. We cannot replace the encouragement of an individual. And certainly when I look at Deborah, that's what I see. Those traits can make a difference. Do you think that Barak makes the stars without Deborah? Do you think that Barak even makes it to the mountain without Deborah? No, we need women. We need women every step of the way. We need women there in our lives that are focused on God. We need women in our lives that remind us. We need women in our lives that encourage us. And when we have one like that, as the Bible describes in Proverbs chapter 31, their worth is really invaluable. What can you find to replace a woman like that? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this evening, or perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you in any way that we can if you come as we stand and as we sing.